Hello, and welcome back to the Smelting Pot Podcast. I'm your host, Brent, and today we're back for episode 2, where we're going to take a look back at Metallica's Kill 'Em All. This is part of a series I'm starting on this podcast. In between some of the other episodes, we're going to take a look back at some other records and that have come out before this podcast was created, and just kind of review them and talk about them and some of the things that make them great or not so great. This will be pretty consistent, and I'm hoping this will be a great start to this new series. And today we're looking back, like I said, at Metallica's Kill 'Em All. Now, of course, Metallica's one of those bands that's very divisive. That's probably an understatement. I think a lot of people, it's their first exposure to metal. I think that's pretty common, because I have a lot of friends who may not listen to a ton of metal, but they know Metallica, or they know a couple Metallica songs. Now, Metallica's divisive in the metal community itself because of their string of albums after the Black Album, and just in general, the whole debate that's kind of become a meme now, the Megadeth versus Metallica debate. But I think Metallica is still one of those bands that's really cemented their legacy, not just in the metal community, but in the mainstream, which is very uncommon for a metal band to do. And that's in part because they have an appealing sound. Now, Kill 'Em All was the first record. It was released on the 25th of July, 1983, on Megaforce Records in the United States. Now, this record was the only Metallica record to have input from Dave Mustaine, who of course would split off and form Megadeth after being fired from the band for his drinking problems and his anger issues and some of his problems with drugs. He would be replaced by Kirk Hammett, who used to be a guitar player for Exodus, and he joined Metallica, and of course that's basically how most people know the story goes. The album itself is 10 tracks long, 50 minutes, 55 seconds, and was originally supposed to be called Metal Up Your Ass. However, Megaforce Records didn't really like this and decided that that name had to be changed, so they changed it to Kill 'Em All in reference to the record labels. Overall, this album does have quite a bit of meaning for me myself. I remember as growing up, especially when I was young, 10, you know, around there, Metallica was one of my favorite bands, and one of the first ones to get me into heavy music in general. I liked everything from the original four albums, which most people kind of hold up as like the pinnacle of Metallica songwriting, to Load and Reload, and maybe some of the newer stuff. There's a couple songs off of Death Magnetic and Hardwired to Self-Destruct, which I find really good. Overall, Metallica was a big part of my childhood. My dad owned a lot of the CDs, and you know, he would always play those, so that had an influence, and it's definitely a band I still hold very close to my heart, even though I don't really listen to that much Metallica, as much Metallica as I used to. And I think this record is probably one of my favorites. Now, I have a sweet spot for Ride the Lightning, but this one is also insanely good, and after looking back through the tracks, I find that there's very few weak spots on this album. I think most songs, there's not one that's egregiously terrible, you know. Most of the songs are very consistently good, and that's something that can be appreciated, you know, especially for a debut. Now, with this album, it's important to note that it is a debut because they kind of wear their influences on their sleeve a bit. You can hear definitely that influence from like Motorhead and a couple of those older bands, and this early thrash metal sound that they kind of pushed on this record. Of course, I actually have a great story about this record. I don't think my dad owned this record because he owns a lot of Metallica CDs and he has these huge boxes. And when I was younger, I used to go through those and upload those to my iTunes so I could listen to it on my iPod or on my phone or whatever. And I don't think he owned this. I knew he owned Ride the Lightning, Master of Puppets, and Justice for All. And I could never find the Kill 'Em All CD. So at some point, during one of the summers, I think it was 2 years ago or so, me and my friend TK, we were out during summer, and we decided to go to Best Buy, because Best Buy used to be the kind of place to go. They used to have CDs and stuff like that. I remember back when I was younger, you walk into Best Buy, they have a whole section full of CDs. Now, it wasn't necessarily metal CDs, but they had CDs, and I was like, well, I kind of want to see what they have. Just Best Buy is a neat place to go, kind of walk around a bit. We didn't have anything planned, so we went to Best Buy. And I couldn't find the rack of CDs that I had envisioned from my childhood and whatnot. But they did have a bin at the very front of the store, and that bin said $5.99 CDs on it. So I dug through that to see if they had anything. After digging past, you know, whatever, generic country album number 35, or a Black Sabbath CDs that my dad already owned, I found Metallica Kill 'Em All CD, and I knew that he didn't have this, and I was like, well, I'm gonna grab this, it's $5, $6, you know, around that range, I can afford this, I'm gonna grab it, because my car has really great speakers when it comes to CDs, and I'd love to own the CD. It's one of my, has a lot of my favorite songs on it from Metallica. So I buy the CD, and my friend TK, we go out to the car, and TK's kind of, you know, he's a rap guy. He likes, I'm not sure exactly what he likes, I'm not a big hip-hop guy, but he's a rap guy. So we go out to the car, and I pop in, I take it out of its plastic, I pop the CD in, and the first song, Hit the Lights, comes on with that booming, like, build from the drums, and I remember TK, like, looking at me and saying, man, this is something right here. And it was kind of a moment that I remember quite fondly because, you know, TK's not, wasn't a big metalhead, and this was kind of his first exposure to music that was to Metallica, in a sense, because, of course, you might know, like, one or two Metallica songs, but when Hit the Lights comes on, that drum roll at the beginning, and then it just moves into that riff, and even he was moving his head and bobbing, and that's kind of the story behind how I got the CD, and a very fond story for me. I think when you're trying to get someone into a niche style of music like metal or something like that, it's important to have that accessibility, and that's kind of what Metallica has, even on the earlier albums. And I like this album specifically compared to maybe the newer post-Black album stuff, because it feels very raw, the production isn't quite there like it was on even some of the big four releases like Kill 'Em All, like Ride the Lightning and Justice for All. This album is still very much raw, and this is in part due to the fact that the band didn't actually have access to the mix when it was produced. So this album still sits up there with me. The first two albums are the ones I hold dearly because I'm still a huge fan of Ride the Lightning. Ride the Lightning was the first Metallica album I listened to all the way through. And that just was, I mean, of course, that's iconic. But for me, Kill 'Em All is up there. It's a very strong album. There's very few songs I can pick out and say, hey, I didn't really like that, or hey, that wasn't that good. And half the album is just certified essential Metallica music. You can't go wrong with that. And I think Metallica, like I said, is a great springboard. You know, when friends say they might want to explore a bit and get into metal, they often, the first place they go is, you know, Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, where that's kind of what I recommend, because it's very hard to throw someone into the deep end and say, hey, you should start with a Cattle Decapitation or something like that. You know, that's not appealing to most people, and you need to give them a springboard, and I don't think there's starter bands, and some people call them starter bands, where it's like an intro to the genre as a whole. Like, some of these bands might be your metalcore bands, like Of Mice and Men and stuff like that. Some people might consider those starter bands. I don't really consider Metallica a starter band. I think they've ascended that. While they do help get a lot of people into metal, I don't think they are a starter band in the traditional sense, because they just have this aura around them, and a lot of their songs are just purely good. Well, when you think starter band, you know, you think, oh, their music isn't that good compared to other metal music, but it's, you know, kind of a platform for people that are inexperienced in the genre to gain a pathway into it. And I don't think that sticks true with Metallica, because a lot of their music is really good even now, and I think that kind of sticks out on this album itself. And with the backstory and whatnot, and what this album means to me, I think it's a great road trip album too. And even people like that don't listen to metal, they can appreciate this album. I remember recommending this to someone to review when they were doing music reviews, and they were not a metal person. And they gave it a 9 out of 10. They loved this album. They considered it a classic, even though that's kind of the thing with Metallica. People don't always, you know, listen to Metallica, but they know that they are legends and that they've contributed so much to music. So now we're going to take a look at all the tracks on the album, and there's 10 tracks in all. We have, it starts with, of course, the intro track, Hit the Lights, then you get The Four Horsemen, Motor Breath, Jump in the Fire, the bass solo, Pulling Teeth, Whiplash, Phantom Lord, No Remorse, Seek and Destroy, and Metal Militia end the album. Now on this album, Dave Mustaine has writing credits for The Four Horsemen, Jump in the Fire, Phantom Lord, and Metal Militia, and they're all kind of credited to him, even though James and Lars had input on both of those tracks, on all four of those tracks. Now, the album starts with Hit the Lights, which is just a fantastic way to, one, say, hey, we're Metallica, and two, start this album off. It perfectly encompasses, I think, what Metallica was really good at their peak and kind of at their best, and that drum build that just seamlessly transitions into that fast and just really catchy riff. Just a perfect introduction to Metallica and this album in general. It never fails to get me pumped up for the rest of the songs, especially since probably my favorite Metallica song follows it up, and this song is by no means a slouch. I think if you listen to Metallica, the song is up there for you too. It's a very good song. Then we transition into my favorite Metallica song, The Four Horsemen, which is a 7-minute masterpiece. That's the best way I can describe it. Now, if you've ever heard like a horse gallop, that's kind of how this song, and it's hard to describe, but if you hear a horse gallop or march or whatever, you know, that kind of rolling beat that you hear from, like, maybe you would hear from the hooves, that is encompassed in the song. It goes, you know, it's that dun 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 dun, you know, it's that sound, and it just rolls throughout and makes you feel like you're, you know, galloping with the four horsemen, and it just grips you. It also has some really brilliant transitions. Of course, it has transitions to 7-minute track, and it keeps up that intensity that you build from the first track, and it just transitions, and you just have these two really intense tracks that just get you really pumped up, like, never fails. Then we get to the third track, Motor Breath, which I really enjoy the main riff in the song, and it's by no means a bad song, but it is kind of a tonal shift for me. Motor Breath is probably my least favorite song on this album. It just kind of feels off, and this might be because of the way James delivers the vocals for the song, which I'm not as big of a fan of as the vocal delivery on The Four Horsemen or Hit the Lights or a lot of other Metallica tracks. It just feels kind of, the intro riff promised something better, and then when you're like stepping down from that intensity into Motor Breath, it doesn't feel right for me, and I was never a huge fan of this track. I felt like it broke up the tone a bit, kind of took away from that intensity I was feeling from The Four Horsemen, because I kind of wanted more. And this might just be because The Four Horsemen for me is such a great track, but Motor Breath kind of took me out of it. But Motor Breath does one thing really well, and it kind of sets the tone for the next two tracks following it, which are Jump in the Fire and Pulling Teeth. Jump in the Fire is very much this a little bit the same compared to, it's kind of similar to Motor Breath, because Jump in the Fire is also a little bit slower, and while I didn't, you know, I don't mind Jump in the Fire either. It's a very good track, and it's not, in my opinion, as bad as Motor Breath, just because the vocal delivery by James is much better, and I think it's, you know, a steady pace. It's not like breakneck fast like Hit the Lights or The Four Horsemen is, at least at the beginning, and it's kind of a more of a steady stomper kind of thing, and I can get behind Jump in the Fire. It's just not, I wouldn't deem it like, oh, if you listen to Metallica, you have to listen to Jump in the Fire. No, I would say it's a solid song, and it fits tonally with the song preceding it and the song after it. And like I said, Motor Breath is kind of really good at setting that tone. And then we get into Pulling Teeth, which is the bass solo by Cliff, and again, this is a pretty iconic solo. Like most things on this album, it has kind of its own aura to it. Personally, this track always, I hate to say it, but it's kind of a skip for me. After listening to it, it's really, it works really well with the pace of the previous two songs, and it's just, you know, it sits well by itself. My main problem with it is it doesn't have the same pull for me as Hit the Lights or The Four Horsemen or some of the songs after it, or any other, like some other Metallica songs, which I really like. So that's kind of my problem with Pulling Teeth. I recognize the talent and the skill on display. It's just not my favorite track off the album, and probably would be my least favorite track if Motor Breath wasn't on this album. Then we get into back what I consider a jump up in pace and form necessarily on this album, which is Whiplash. And I love this song. This song just makes you want to, you know, rock out. You want to go to a metal show and you want to bang your head. And, yeah, we're Metallica! And, you know, it's kind of like, that's what it makes you feel like. It makes you feel kind of like a badass, and like you're going to go tour the world. And like I said, it's another, like, it's a jump up in pace. It kind of escapes that slower tone of the last three tracks, which were established by Motor Breath and then pulls through Pulling Teeth. And we kind of get back to the pace at the beginning of the album, the first two tracks. We get back to that fast, really thrash riff that's not as slow, and they have that vocal delivery from James and the lyrics, you know, the oh, we're never gonna stop, we're Metallica, blah blah blah. Oh, just, point, this is essential Metallica in my opinion. If you listen to Metallica, you have to have Four Horsemen, Hit the Lights, Whiplash, and basically the whole second half of this album probably should be in your playlist. Then after Whiplash, we go into Phantom Lord, which is probably the most diverse track on this album, I mean, besides the tonally slower tracks. In my opinion, this one brings in the most elements, and it kind of has a different vocal delivery, but then this track, unlike on Motor Breath, this vocal delivery works for me. The whole, like, first off, the riff is great. It's like that. It gets stuck in my head every time. It's so good. And then the whole lyrics is like, beware of the Phantom Lord, blah, blah. You know, it pulls you in. It's, again, another faster track, which I think Metallica, that's their biggest strength. You know, they can do the slow stuff like One. And they do it better in the back half of their career, and I think on And Justice for All, it's much better. They're so much better at the slower stuff than they are on Kill 'Em All. And in Kill 'Em All, the slower tracks, they fall flatter for me, because they kind of have this beginning of the album is this punch in the face of intensity, and then you have these slightly slower tracks that just kind of break it up for me. And I think on this album, specifically, the faster songs are better, but I think Metallica, as their career progressed, they got better at doing those slower songs and eventually the ballads. So, yeah. Then, after Phantom Lord, we jump into No Remorse, which I think is often forgotten on the album. And I don't think No Remorse is a bad track. It's somewhat of a hidden gem. Again, it presents a variation on, you know, previously displayed material on the album. And again, it's not essential. I wouldn't put this as one of the essential tracks for Metallica, but it's a very solid song, and it's, in my opinion, much better than like Motor Breath. Then we get to Seek and Destroy, which is just, if you know Metallica, you should know Seek and Destroy. Seek and Destroy is just, that intro is so iconic. It just drifts Metallica. And then once you move out of the intro into, you know, the core song, you just feel the power when you're like sitting there screaming Seek and Destroy with Metallica. Like, I've driven my, you know, when the song comes on the car, it's like the Four Horsemen, I turn it up to really loud, and I sit there and I sing along really loud and obnoxiously with the lyrics, you know, Seek and Destroy. It's another essential, and this album is full of those. Like, over half this album is essential Metallica. And then we get to the ending track, Metal Militia, which is the perfect album closer in my opinion. It embodies the pace and the intensity of the earlier songs, and it just wraps it all up. It's fast, it's aggressive, you know, and it's just another one of my favorite Metallica songs. again, another essential, and I think it's often overlooked. I think people forget about Metal Militia, but that song is, it just makes you feel, again, like half the songs on this album, like a badass when you're listening to it. So that's kind of the rundown of the tracks itself, and I think as overall this album does a great job when it's going fast. Like I said, the slower songs for me are just totally inconsistent with the rest of the album, because they do this fast sound really well, and that's what I've always liked, those intense songs with Metallica, especially early in their career. The more intense, the better they were. And I think this album does a great job of showcasing that talent. Well, again, they do wear their influences on their sleeves a lot, and you can hear, like, Motorhead and a couple other bands that clearly influenced them in this music. I think it's a very solid debut album. It's one where I'd say, hey, if you want to get into metal, like actual, like, thrash metal, you listen to Kill 'Em All. It's not just, you know, when you don't just put someone, in my opinion, if you're going to get someone in metal, you need to put them on a metal album, where the Black Album is kind of a little bit more of a metal slash hard rock album where they had elements of both. I think you put them on Kill 'Em All, it's a pure thrash metal album, and they can kind of hear that sound, that intensity, and the power behind Metallica's early songwriting, and it's kind of it's reminiscent of, you know, early Slayer and stuff like that. It's a good entry point, but it's also, you know, stuff I still can listen to now and say, hey, this may not be as intense as, a Cattle Decapitation or a Cannibal Corpse or something like that, but I can still appreciate the musicianship, and I still love these songs. Like, they will always be on this pedestal for me. And now I kind of want to talk about my personal favorite tracks off the album to kind of give recommendations for anyone who wants to make a playlist or would like to explore some of Metallica's discography, starting with Kill 'Em All. Like I said before, my favorite Metallica song is The Four Horsemen, and that's probably my number one recommendation out of anything Metallica. Listen to The Four Horsemen. The song is absolutely amazing. I'm going to insert a little blurb of it. Like I will with all the songs I recommend. Listen to this song, the full song. You really can't replace that experience. It's a great song. And honestly, I could go on and recommending song after song after song with this album. It's full of songs. It's full of hits and stuff like that. But I'm going to keep it down to three songs, and that's going to be kind of the general rule for this series. Anytime I'm going to do an album, I'm going to keep it down to three song recommendations off that album, if it warrants that. So my second song recommendation would be the ending track, Metal Militia. And my final recommendation is Seek and Destroy. And now, of course, this track is a very big track. I'm not sure if anyone in my audience has heard this one. But it's, you know, it's that one song that just makes you feel like a menace to society when you're, like, out there. Again, because this is one of those tracks that when I drive in my car, I'll turn all the way up when it comes up on the CD. It'll be blasting loud with all my windows down, just chanting Seek and Destroy out the window. It just makes you feel like a complete badass. And that's the best part, you know. When a Metallica song makes you feel like that, then you know you have a good Metallica song. Seek and Destroy is my final recommendation off of Kill 'Em All. And finally, I kind of want to reflect on everything we've talked about here today. We went a little bit over the history of the album, you know, release date, lineup somewhat, and the trouble with the original name. And we went through each track, and we talked about the significance of, you know, or the appeal of each track and whatnot. And we talked about kind of my personal history with this album, and I just want to leave today saying, you know, this album had a profound impact on me. Now, I didn't know the full album, you know, until I bought it, because, of course, we didn't own it, but Metallica as a band had always, you know, I've always viewed as that first band that really got me into metal music, and not just rock music, because you had your AC/DCs and whatnot that I loved as a kid, Guns N' Roses, AC/DC, Metallica, but Metallica was that springboard to get me into, you know, Slayer, Megadeth, and then eventually into bands like, you know, Death, and going from Death into stuff in the underground that I listen to now. Now I listen to bands that, you know, people have never heard of. And it's kind of that springboard into the deeper dive. And this album itself, like I said, is probably one of my favorite Metallica albums. Most of the songs on here, you can't find a bad song on this album. Even Motor Breath, which is not my favorite Metallica song ever, is not a bad song. It's just not exactly what I wanted from that track. I think this album, it's very rare to find an album that has no blemishes, that just every track is playable. And while I may skip some of the songs on this album when they come up, I listen to basically the whole thing. There's just some songs that I need to be in a specific mood for, like Pulling Teeth or Motor Breath. And that's kind of that's when you know you've made a good album. And there's very few albums where you can just sit there and you don't skip anything because you just love almost everything on the album. And they kind of achieved that. And that's a hard thing to do. Especially nowadays when you have like a shorter attention span and whatnot. And I think we've become moving away from CDs and listening to albums specifically. I think that's kind of a trend because, you know, you're getting into streaming. Now you can make play, and I'm kind of guilty of this too. You can make playlists of songs and stuff like that. And streaming does a lot of great things too. You know, it allows you to discover new artists. Like, for example, there's so many metal bands that I've gotten into because of YouTube, because of Spotify recommending things, and bands I wouldn't have found before had that stream of recommendations not been there. I might have found them eventually, but it would take me a lot longer to find this niche that I really love in music. And Metallica will always be that band for me that kind of started all this, and it is still a band I hold very dear to my heart. I love Metallica, and there's, you know, a lot of metalheads will say, hey, I love Metallica, I love Slayer. You know, those are those bands that you kind of, they may not be the heaviest, but they were influential in getting you into the music. I think everyone has that type of band in different genres. There's one artist that they kind of hold above the rest. And Metallica is one of those artists that I'm like, hey, this is something special. This is something I still regard as special, even if I don't listen to a ton of Metallica anymore. And that's kind of the special thing about this. And that's kind of why it's one of my favorite Metallica albums, as I've gotten older. You know, I've gotten into the more raw and aggressive style. You know, you see it a lot in black metal and releases like A Blaze in the Northern Sky, or even more obscure releases like Takes album and stuff. It's very raw, and the production isn't great, and that used to bother me a lot when I was younger. I wanted to be able to hear everything clearly. Like when I, for example, my dad had Sehnsucht, the Rammstein album, but when he transferred it to his iTunes account, the audio file became a bit, the production quality wasn't as good as when it was on the CD. So when I downloaded it again, it just kind of didn't sound great. And as a kid, that really bothered me. But now, as I gotten older, that raw and sometimes distorted style, I really like, and that's something that draws me towards this album. It's raw, it's distorted, it's aggressive, it's fast, and it just pumps you up. And that's the great, this is like that album that you should play before, you know, a game or something like that. This pumps you up. I think that's kind of the biggest thing for Metallica, when they can pump someone up. When they move fast, when they play heavy music, this is, you know, peak Metallica, in my opinion. A lot of these songs, like, for example, The Four Horsemen will never be top for me. That is, hands down, the best Metallica song. And that's kind of the last impression I leave of this album. It's one that was very influential for me. And I love this album. And I hope you guys check it out. I hope you guys like it. And I hope it's kind of a springboard to get you into some other stuff like it was for me. Thank you. This has been the Smelting Pot Podcast. Thank you so much for listening.